Welcome everybody back to the Trade Waiters podcast.
Yeah,
this is the comic book reading cod podcast.
Reading cod podcast.
I'm Nathan.
I'm Daniel.
We read a different trade paperback every week. How are you feeling, Daniel?
Indeed, I'm pretty full. Just ate.
Me too. I went actually to an interesting Taco Bell. It's actually the Guinness World Record Taco Bell for being the slowest fucking Taco Bell of all time.
Oh, I thought there's an actual record held there. No. I was like, did someone eat like 1,000 tacos there? No,
it
there?
Seems like it's the worst fucking, it's the slowest goddamn Taco Bell of all time.
Did you always like eat somewhere before you come here and never offer to get me anything?
Yeah,
because it hurts more and here. More each
You have
week.
Food here.
Oh my God, you could have brought, but you're on your way. And you're already getting things for you.
Dude, I like didn't know what I wanted, and I was
you
already on the way here.
You get two beefy five-layer burritos time you go.
I didn't know I was going to eat Taco Bell. I literally was like looking up foods like on the way.
Bring up Taco Bell every time eating out is an option, and it normally gets shot down.
Why?
You know, I have to consider other people.
That sucks.
Yeah. Because people don't want to eat Taco Bell like... You know, 3 days in a row.
Yeah. I had Filibertos for lunch as well.
Oh, shit.
It's been unhealthy.
You've been full all day.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Feeling good and gassy. After my two Mexican food meals.
This podcast is going to be gas.
Yep.
Ready.
So, but before we go into the book, we go into some of the comic book news that happened. You just had to beat me to it. So then what's on the news then, Daniel?
Dude, I have like no comic book news, but...
That's what we're here for, Daniel.
Did you see that Pacific Rim is getting a show coming to Netflix?
Who cares?
No,
really?
Dude.
That seems like
It's like an anime.
Okay.
It's better. Like an American anime. It's called like Pacific Rim like Black or something like that.
What's Black? The monsters?
It's like very dark.
The Pacific?
Like the kaiju like took over like a country or something. And so there's no lights, Nathan. It's very dark.
Oh, okay.
Looks kind of cool.
Okay, that's kind of neat. I didn't know about that.
Coming in March. I just saw the trailer at some point this week.
Did you see that DC announced Justice League Last Ride, which is a new series written by Chip Zdarsky?
Oh,
and
shit.
Mike Malouk? Or wait, who is that, actually? Oh, the main... Okay, I thought it was Derek Robertson, which is the guy that does The Boys. But he's actually just doing the covers. But the art is by Miguel Mendoza. And so it's the synopsis is once the Justice League was the most powerful collection of superheroes in the universe, but an unthinkable tragedy within its ranks has caused Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman to go their separate ways, leaving the League broken and disbanded under a veil of anger and mistrust. Now, against the backdrop of the universe's greatest murder trial, can the League reconcile the past before they're eradicated by the greatest villains in the cosmos?
I hope Green Lantern dies.
I think he's on the cover, so...
So he might die.
So, but he's in the back, so it's not looking good for him.
So he's definitely dying.
If the Green Lantern dies, I'm going to be so angry. I don't think...
I'm calling it right now. You heard it here first.
So there's a murder. I didn't think that it was... I didn't think that a possibility would be that one of the Leaguers died. I thought it would have been, like, Lois or something.
Oh, who cares about that?
Superman does.
But why would that break up the trilogy or the Trinity?
Because Batman murders Lois.
Oh, shit.
Chip Zdarsky, take notes.
That'd be heavy.
Just kidding. Yeah, so that's cool. I like Chip doing more DC stuff. He's kind of been sprinkling in some DC every now and then.
Like what?
I think he did one of the Batman Black and Whites, and then he's also launching like a different, like, I think it's like an Elseworlds type book or something, but that's coming up soon as well.
Okay,
but
yeah.
But this one was just announced, and it's actually kind of an interesting one because it's going to be... first released digitally weekly for 16 chapters, but it's also going to be available in print 3 chapters at a time.
So will they be like really beefy like issues, or will they release 3 issues at a time?
Each chapter of the 16 chapters is 10 pages, so it'll be a 32 page monthly print for $4, and each digital one is 99 cents.
It
releases
like
to digital platforms Wednesday, April 14th, and then in
That's
print on
birthday.
May 11th. Yeah, so you can get it for your birthday.
Nice.
How exciting.
$1.
Yeah, $1 gift for yourself.
Uh,
don't spend it all in one place.
Yeah, I know. That seems dumb.
It seems like a weird format, yeah.
Because, like, I already get, like, mixed up on, like, Comixology, like, all the comics I have, especially if I buy individual issues. It's, like, a nightmare.
Yeah.
And then why not just have...
Well, you can still sort by, like, series.
Yeah, I guess.
Instead of it being just, like, a big long list of things. But it's 10 pages. You buy it and read it right there, Daniel. It's not going to take long to download or anything. Just do it.
I guess. Get it over with. But, like, you think they're trying to convert people?
I don't know. Going digital? Digital? I don't know, because...
Because why have it available only digitally at first and then, like, in print later? Just
to get it out faster, maybe? Chip Zdarsky's done digital stuff before, and he said on our podcast that
it's easier.
It's easier to get, like, ideas out quicker.
True.
But to have this plan available beforehand, because he did Afterlift, which is his Comixology original. It's one like Eisner's and stuff, and then Dark Horse... actually just picked it up and released it in trade this week.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
So, oh, I saw that.
Yeah.
That's why it looked weird. I'm like, why is this here?
Sick. So, I don't know. He seems like to enjoy the sort of digital sort of landscape. But yeah, this does seem like an odd
It's just choice. Unnecessary. You could just release it like a book.
Are there going to be 16 different covers? There have to be, right?
Oh, probably. Yeah, because you have to, like, sell each issue.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Not worth it for that. I mean, like...
I'm going to get it. I mean,
because if you think about buying a comic that's, like, 30 pages for, like, $4, that's, like, kind of standard. Yeah. Relatively normal.
Pretty good price,
though. But, like, if you're buying it, like, if a comic's, like, $1, that might intrigue people to buy it, like, digitally and get people, like, hooked on it.
That's true.
So I guess I could see it that way.
Yeah, just like it seems like it's something that's like, you know, you don't need any continuity. You just got to know who Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, and whoever else is on the Justice League.
So that'd be like a banger first 10 pages.
Yeah.
So, okay.
It'd be like a bunch of like, yeah. I feel like it'd be interesting to see that kind of format to have like almost like a self-contained. It wouldn't be self-contained, but like parts of a story every 10 pages. I feel like that format would also be kind of challenging.
That's cool. I'll probably buy both either way.
Yeah, I think so.
Just to support the boy.
Yeah. Our good friend, Chip Zdarsky. Godzilla versus Kong comic book prequels scheduled. Did you hear about this?
No, but I like just kind of knew it would come.
Yeah, I think we all kind of knew.
Who has the rights to that? Like IDW?
Legendary Comics.
What the fuck is that?
I have no idea, actually.
Okay.
So there's a publishing plan to coincide with March's release of Godzilla versus Kong. On March 30th, Godzilla Dominion is a prequel graphic novel. So, a big thing. Written by Greg Keyes, who I don't know, and art by Drew Edward Johnson, who sounds kind of familiar. There's going to also be Kingdom Kong, which is also on sale March 30th, which is a sequel to the graphic novel Skull Island.
Oh, Kong and Me is coming out? Looks like a kid comic.
Shut the fuck up. Wait, what? Did you just look up Legendary?
Yeah.
Is that the movie studio logo?
That one?
That's a movie studio logo, isn't it?
Yeah, it looks familiar.
Yeah. So
they got a lot of stuff.
There's a...
Have you heard...
MonsterVerse Titanthology.
Grant Morrison has a comic on here.
What is it?
Called Annihilator.
Interesting.
With Frazier Irving. So it's like comics based off of like movies.
I guess so. Yeah, I guess that's their just like publishing platform.
Oh, they have like Pacific Rim comics here.
Which I didn't know that they had. Yeah, because Legendary, I'm pretty sure... makes a couple of those.
So I don't care about that.
What do you care about?
Huh?
What do you care about?
I do not care about
about the Godzilla versus Kong comic book prequels? Yeah,
I'm sure all the prequel we'll need will be in the beginning of the movie.
Probably.
Like, here's King Kong, we're going to take him over here.
You don't want to see what happens immediately after Skull Island?
You know, I really like Skull Island, so I wouldn't mind that, actually.
I still haven't watched it, actually.
Really? It's really good.
That's what I've heard.
It was, like, surprisingly good. I was expecting it to be, like, super dumb, but it was, like, super solid.
That's cool. I mean, yeah, it looks... I've heard good things about it. I just haven't gotten the chance. Do you remember when we saw Godzilla, but we didn't know that we were in the same theater? Like, you were there with somebody else, and I was there with Ben.
Yeah, dude, you were, like, two rows up from me, too.
Yeah, and you got up, and I was like, Daniel? And you, like, look back, and you're like, Nathan? And we're like, dude, that was a sick movie, wasn't it? And so...
Like, we were just sitting in the same room for, like, 2 hours and didn't know of each other's existence there.
When Godzilla vs. Kong comes out, we should go to the movies but sit completely separate from each other, just like that.
We'll just coordinate the time, but not the seats.
Just pick whatever seats. We'll see what we
And we won't tell Sophia or Sarah. And they'll be like, oh, dude.
Oh, wow.
Then we'll get beers after.
That'd be so sick. Funny. We should actually do that, though.
Yeah, it's a great idea.
When does it come out again?
March, I think
it's in March 31st.
March 31st.
Yep.
I'm there.
So we'll plan something. Did you know the music was composed by Junkie XL?
March 31st is a Wednesday.
Is it?
Yeah.
Seems odd. Typically, they're Friday releases.
Well, you know, like, kids' movies that come out on Tuesdays?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, like, any kind of animated movie, it'll come out on, like, the Tuesday before, or, like, it'll come out on a Tuesday. And so I guess, like, because their first weekend numbers look better or something.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, it's, like, a fact. And, like, once I heard that, like, I couldn't stop, like, seeing it everywhere.
Oh, that weekend is Easter weekend as well. Interesting.
It is?
I guess so. So it goes into April. April 4th is Easter.
Huh. Oh, because it's, like, Good Friday.
Yeah.
So I guess that you don't release movies on Good Friday? Maybe or not. The Thursday before?
I don't know.
That's, like, isn't that, like, Happy Thursday or something?
Is it? I don't know.
I think that's a holiday.
I think all days of the week are happy, Daniel. Did you see the... It's not really, like... It was, like, a comic meme that I guess was kind of going around for a little bit because WandaVision stuff is happening and she has kids or
Holy
whatever.
Holy Thursday. That's what it's called.
Holy Thursday.
Yeah, sorry.
What's today?
It's a pod day.
New comic Wednesday.
Yeah. Oh, it was like National Pizza Day yesterday. Didn't even get pizza. Like a schmuck.
I didn't either.
Sorry. I interrupted you like 3 times.
There was a meme, I guess, that was kind of going around the comic community because of like WandaVision and stuff. And like she has kids or whatever. There's like, I guess it's like a common thing that artists really struggle with like drawing like babies' faces.
Okay.
And there's this picture floating around of like Wanda's kids in like the bathtub, but just like the drawing of their face is just so like manlike.
Yeah,
and dude. Kind of like horrifying because artists aren't used to drawing like kids' faces. So this kid has like wrinkles.
Yeah, like,
he's got his fucking face.
He's got like the dimples, but like 2 of them.
He's got a normal like jawline.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
That looks like Jeff Bezos on a baby's body.
It kind of does. Yeah, so there's like a couple different examples of that going around.
That's funny. So it's like just old comics or like newer stuff too?
I feel like even newer stuff.
I don't really critique faces that much, I guess. Because I know they're so fucking hard.
Yeah.
But I bet if I looked for it, I'd find some funny examples.
Yeah. Well, I think it's kind of interesting because in the book that we read this week, it's about 4 kids.
Was there any faces? Okay. The thing is, they're supposed to be like 11.
They do look a bit older.
Yeah, they're like obviously like teens.
I would say that they're, if I had to guess their age, I'd be like 15.
Yeah, I was thinking like 17 even.
But even like last book in Animal Man, Maxine was supposed to be like 4 and she looked like she was 9.
Yeah, she looked like, seriously like 10. So
I think that, you know.
I think the artist should have like visited a 4-year-old. I don't know if there's like
can you rent one?
Are there kid zoos or something?
Maybe.
Can you peek in the door and be like, "Hey, how old is that one?"
Is there like yeah, exactly.
I need it for reference.
Let me take pictures of his face. Yeah. Anyway, do you have anything else?
Yes, rest in peace to Christopher Plummer. He's an actor, he's very old.
What did he do?
He was the old guy in Knives Out.
I haven't seen it.
Oh, Jesus Christ. The bad guy in Up. Do you remember?
Yes.
Yeah, he was that guy.
Did he look like that or?
No.
You just voice acted him?
He's a very nice man. And he was in Knives Out and he was really good. But yeah, rest in peace. And then also there was like a Falcon and Winter Soldier trailer at the Super Bowl. Yep. Have we seen that trailer before?
No.
Okay, new trailer. Exciting stuff.
It's been a year since we saw the first trailer. I know I told you that on the day.
Yeah, we got a recap for the show. Falcon looks awesome.
He does. Very colorful.
Very colorful.
Got a haircut, much needed.
I don't know.
You don't like his haircut? You like his long hair?
Is it like a normal haircut? Like, does it look like your hair?
You don't remember, like, what his hair looked like?
No. It's not, like, long anymore, like how the comics are?
No.
Boo.
Yeah, it's just, like, I don't know, shorter hair. It's, like, what he looks like normally. If you ever look at Sebastian Stan, he's got, like, short hair.
Like that.
Yeah, it's just whatever.
Yeah.
Because like Baron Zemo's got his purple mask. That's cool. I'm excited for that.
Yeah. That's always nice.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think it's necessary really to have him look like the character in the book because he looks pretty ridiculous. And he's a really cool villain in like Civil War, just being him.
Yep.
But
when WandaVision ends, we'll have 1 week off and then without anything.
Falcon and Winter Soldier starts. Yeah. Holy shit. I thought it was like December or something. No, but that was last year.
March 19th, I believe.
Wow.
So, yeah.
That's cool.
So we're not going to go very long without Marvel stuff this year. It's all stacked on top of each other, basically.
We have so much to talk about on the pod.
Yes, I know. So much.
For so long.
Yeah. But
And then Invincible will come out. And then we'll have extra stuff to come out to watch.
When is again? March?
March.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
We're going to have so much to watch.
I feel like so much shit comes out.
I barely watch anything as is. Now I have to force myself to.
Yeah.
Anyway, is that everything?
Yes, sir.
Cool. Well, let's get into the book that we read this week, which was Four Kids Walk Into a Bank.
What's the sound of that, Nathan? It's the sound of a hardcover.
Who's there?
It's a hardcover.
Oh, wow. It's a hardcover. what's the sound?
Paperback.
Who's there? So Four Kids Walk Into a Bank. From Matthew Rosenberg is the writer. Tyler Boss is the artist. The coloring and flatting is by Claire DeZutti.
Yeah.
And then lettering by Thomas Maurer.
Wallpaper design by Courtney Menard. Don't forget Courtney.
Yes. It's interesting that in this credits page, the writing is the last one, which I think is kind of cool. Because I feel like a lot of this book, it's not writing, I guess. Actually, no. I would say that this is like just overall thoughts. This is one of my favorite books of all time.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Because it's like, when I first read it, it was like, it gives me the same feeling as when you watch an indie movie and you're like, that was a really kick-ass indie movie.
That feeling? Yeah, kind of like a hidden gem kind of thing.
Yeah, and that's definitely what this is. I don't think it's like a hidden gem anymore because people have caught on to like how good it is, but I just really like that it stretches the medium in like a way that I'm not used to seeing.
How so?
It like uses the page in ways that aren't like traditional, I guess, and as some of the panel layout or panel layout, and then a lot of storytelling elements will kind of like break a fourth wall in a way, but just act as like sort of comedic like juxtapositions, I guess. So there's a lot in here that I don't know, just like it feels really unique, and it's stuff that I think that I can't think of any other examples of that being utilized in like other books.
Okay.
And I've written a couple of them down because I think that they're really cool.
Okay.
What did you think?
Really solid.
Really solid.
I think just certain parts could have been like cut down a bit. And I think it could have been wrapped up in like less issues. Yeah. Not a problem. You know, it was kind of like room spent on like character development.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like there was a little bit too much time spent on like, hey, these are kids, don't forget that kind of thing. Yeah. Like they're doing kids things, they're talking about kids stuff, like dialogue that that doesn't like pertain to the story.
Yeah.
Which is I enjoy often, not to where like there's like normal talking and it's like how people talk, and it's not just only stuff that moves the story forward or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But
I think it works to its benefit because just I like that you can kind of just see the kids be kids and just sort of like fuck around and like make fun of each other or argue with each other.
Yeah.
Things like that. And I think that that's really hard to pull off because I really don't like when a lot of writers try to write children.
Yeah.
When they don't pull it off. And I never get like annoyed by anything.
Yeah. It definitely felt very like organic, you know, for lack of a better word. Like it felt natural.
Definitely.
And didn't feel like an adult forced writing like kids books, like you were saying.
Exactly.
I had this like a huge problem.
Okay.
His character Walter.
Yeah.
Who has very small text for his like dialogue.
Uh-huh.
And it was super annoying.
Couldn't see it?
I was watching it like in bed. So like it was working, like the lighting was just off and like I could read it from like, you know, that foot away from my face. And then fucking Walter had to say some shit. I'm like, what the fuck? And I had to angle it so I could get some light.
See, that's one of the examples though, because he's a soft-spoken character. And so every time he speaks, his lettering is smaller, but the word balloon stays the same size.
Yeah, I get that. And that's one of
the things that I like about it. Okay. And I think that, like, as a comedy book... This is a comedy book that's made me laugh out loud.
Yeah, there were some funny parts in this.
Yeah.
It's very clever.
Yeah.
Like, like when you think the title Four Kids Walk Into a Bank, I'm like, okay, it'd be like some kids attempt to somehow pulling off like a bank heist or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But like the things that they actually like ended up doing to get towards that point and like how they're handling the whole thing were like super clever. I'm like, oh shit, that could actually work.
Yeah, exactly. You know?
So I like that aspect of it.
And I think once it gets to the actual like bank heist, very interesting, like the whole way through.
I think I was reading it a little bit differently because of how highly you spoke of it. And then also I was waiting for the bank heist, like the entire book. And then it's kind of like the last two issues. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which I probably should have expected. But
yeah, because what are you expecting, like a bank heist for like the whole five issues?
I would enjoy that.
Well, this is not the book for you.
Ah.
But anyway, we'll jump into it. So every issue has like a cold open, I guess you could say, that has the four kids of this book talking to each other in some sort of like fantasy world, which I think is really charming. And so in this issue, it's like a fun game of like Dungeons and Dragons, it looks like,
mm-hmm.
where the kids are represented as knights or orcs or dragons or whatever, but they're still like they're still talking about like they're fighting about who gets to be like which cool character, what they're going to be named. And like there's one character named Crotch the Sticky.
Yeah.
And so like just ridiculous names, or one's just Walter,
son of that's, like, his son of Groin the Moist.
Yeah. And Sir
grandson of Lumps the,
and like he gets cut off. The captions will tell you who these characters are, and like at first you're like, this is starting a lot different than what I thought. But then there's like a big wave, which is like represented in that like famous painting that has like the wave.
Yeah, that like Japanese painting.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is.
I don't know what it's called, but if that wave comes in and just kind of knocks everything out, because one of the kids like knocks over some soda and like ruins the D&D game. That is kind of what breaks us out of this D&D story, to show. And then we're introduced to the characters, which are Paige, who's the main girl in this, Stretch, Walter, and Burger.
It's called the Great Wave of Kanagawa.
Yeah. So that wave comes in, which I think is creative as well, like referencing that to like break us out of the story.
Yeah. There were some super clever references in this.
Yeah, I agree. So yeah, we break out. It's not it's not Crotch the Sticky that's, you know, the main character. It's actually Paige, Stretch, Walter, and Burger, who are the four kids.
What I liked about this book, like looking back now, is that I can like look at the character and like know who it is.
Yeah.
I know it's only like four kids, but I've...
That can be hard sometimes.
Yeah, it can be really hard, and they're all drawn specifically differently.
Yeah, they each have their own like distinct designs and personalities, mm-hmm. I would say. Like they each kind of serve a different purpose.
Yeah.
I really like when he spills the bottle and there's like a page that's basically a splash page that's like split up into panels. But there's like word balloons that go off of different sides of each panel. And I don't know if you noticed, but each side represents a different kid. So
right.
When the balloon goes off panel, that's like one kid. And if another word balloon goes off that same side, that's that kid like speaking.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's like a subtle thing in there, I think, is like kind of cool. And like, I haven't seen that before, but it works in like the sense of the story. But anyway,
yeah, very readable.
But Paige's dad comes in and offers to take them all out for an ice cream dinner. And the kids are like super excited and they start to run for the car when they're met by four like older guys at the door. And these are just like the bad guys of the story, who they definitely look like trouble. And Paige, who is kind of like the leader of this group, tries to tell them to like back off, and she gets punched in the face by one of them after like insulting them. And then Burger uses like his slingshot, and he slingshots a statue of like an orc into his eyes. And then the bad guys threaten to like fight some more, but then the dad comes out with a shotgun and makes them leave. One of the interesting things in here is when she gets punched, there's that panel where normally it would be her getting punched in the face, but instead of that, it's just like a whole panel that's like a caption saying, "Reminder, under almost no circumstances is it okay to wander into someone's house uninvited and sucker punch a kid in the face."
Yeah.
And that like takes the place of her getting punched in the face, because after the fact, she's got like a bloody nose.
Right.
And that's, I think, like, that's a clever way to approach it, you know?
Yeah, super fun. Then rather have someone draw an adult punching a kid.
You'd rather that?
No, I'm saying like, that's better.
Yeah. I definitely think so. And it's a funny way, because like, you know what happens, but like you don't.
Yeah.
You don't necessarily want to see that.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I also like Walter's sort of like demeanor in this when like the dad is like, do you guys want to go out for ice cream? And like his eyes like sparkle.
Oh yeah, he looks like an anime girl.
There's like a couple like, points where if they're like really excited, like kids, they'll have like that sparkle in their eye, and I think that works really well.
Oh, he talks about like chemistry later, and he does like the same shit.
And he's so excited about it. Yeah, you know he's so jazzed.
That's like every nerd, I think.
Yeah.
Like if someone asked me about like some comics or something, I'd be like, ooh, bitch.
Yeah.
Let me tell you.
Some sparkles come in your eyes.
Yeah.
And I like Tyler Boss's. Like, he, like, draws eyes kind of weird, I would say. Like, especially when they're, like, excited. It's like there's four lines around the eyes. But I think it also works out pretty well.
Were you excited?
Like, in that ice cream panel, like, you can see the around their eyes, there's, like, four different, like, lines instead of just, like, drawing, like, an eyelid.
Yeah.
So I think that that's...
I think...
it's kind of a weird, like, representation of eyes, I think, but works out pretty well.
Yeah, like, are you talking about, like, this page, like, with Burger, and he's, like...
Yeah, exactly.
I think it works really well, because it kind of leans into the fact that he's, like...
Your eyes are, like, wide like, open.
He's, like, shocked, yeah. And so, I never noticed that. I didn't really look that closely, but I think that works. I really dig this dude's art. It really works. Have you ever seen him in something else?
Yeah, I'm a big fan of his stuff. I haven't really, like, actually seen him in anything else, but I know he's got a book coming up. Is him writing and drawing it.
Oh, cool. Yeah, it really works for, like, this story in particular.
Yeah.
It'd be interesting to see him, like, kind of stretch his legs and do, like, I don't know, some sort of superhero thing.
You should look up and see if he's done any other books. I feel like there's one that I'm missing. Oh, no, he did We Can Never Go Home, I think, with Matt Rosenberg. I don't know if
I read that shit.
Yeah.
Didn't you give me that?
I think I did. So this is Matt Rosenberg and Tyler Baum. Actually, look that up, because... I can't remember off the top of my head. But anyway, Paige gets punched in the face. One dude gets a orc slingshotted in his eye. The next day, Paige gets into a fight with a bully at school after he goes for like a low blow, making fun of her like dead mom, who I guess killed herself, which is pretty low blow. And then the bad guys like show up again, offering a ride home for Paige, just to kind of offer like no hard feelings. And then when Paige gets home, Dad says that he doesn't know those, like, four guys. And so he kind of just... Paige just kind of takes that and leaves.
So four kids walk into a bank, pops up. Lazarus Risen. He did some TMNT. But it doesn't say that other one. What was it called? We Can Never Go Home?
Yeah.
That was Patrick Kinlan.
Oh, okay, damn it. Okay, yeah. So I don't know if I've seen Tyler Boss or anything else. But I have seen... a lot from him, just like on his Twitter, of like the new book that he has coming up.
Okay.
So, and then I also have that commission from him as well.
It is like similar looking vibes.
Yeah.
As far as like the style of like the kind of slice of life kind of stuff.
Yeah. That was a good book too.
Yeah, pretty solid.
Yeah. So yeah, after Paige gets into a fight with a bully, she gets driven home by one of the bad dudes that come in. As like, I guess like a peace offering, but you kind of get the idea that her dad has like an association with these guys in like the past.
Mm-hmm.
And then Paige knows that the bad guys want something from her dad. So she radios the other kids and they do a stakeout. And it's during the stakeout that they discover that Paige's dad is eating with them at the diner.
Sometimes there's these pages that would have like
the talking heads.
Like, yeah, like 24 panels.
Yeah.
I see them, I'm like, what the fuck? And I start reading them, and they flow, like, so well.
That's like one of his signature things that Matt does. Like, he's brought that into, like, Marvel books and stuff, too.
Yeah, and it's really sick.
It works super well.
Because it's not a lot of dialogue, and so it flows really well.
No, like, each panel is, like, a very short sentence. But I've noticed that there were, like, jokes in here that would be hard to pull off in, like, a traditional format.
Yeah.
Because he does, like, it's kind of a cheap joke, but like the over, when you have to like say over on like the radio,
Burger's
like, why do we have to say over, over, over? Like, like just keep saying it like back and forth. Like, there's a lot of build up to like the punchline in here that I feel like would be really hard and just like, and like not that interesting in normal books.
I like this one where like they're on the radio and like some random dude comes on and he's like, how old are y'all? It's so fucking
sound
weird.
Young and dirty. He just comes in out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he's like, who the hell are you? He's like, you can call me Dr. Gloryhole, girl.
Yeah, he's just some random dude that's picking up on, like, the radio frequency.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so funny. It's so creepy, but it's so funny.
It was funny to, like, see him, like, have his own panel out of nowhere. Be like, how old are y'all? Just, like, listening in on a conversation.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I love the talking heads from the team. And it gives, like, Tyler Boss just an opportunity to make, like, use, like, a simple format, but then just, like, adjust, like, the faces just very slightly.
Yeah.
And I think that that's cool to also compare. So, good stuff. I also like the lettering sound effects that are used in this book. The first example is Stretch gets hit in the face from, like, a dodgeball, and it says jocks, because some, like, jocks threw it in his face.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Pretty good.
Yeah, really clever use of lettering in this. But, yeah, that's the end of issue one. Dad's in the diner with the baddies. So we'll go into issue two. So then there's another cold open sequence, and this one is
a video game.
Yeah, it's a video game. The kids are all in, like, what looks like a side-scroller fighting game. Like, remember that, like, X-Men or, like, TMNT, like, fighting games that are on, like, the arcade?
Yeah, the TMNT one is really fucking hard. Yeah, I played it as an adult, and I did not go far.
The X-Men one is much funner. Much more fun.
Much funner.
Much funner. Yeah. So, yeah, they're, like, characters like that. Like, one of them's a skeleton pope, and one of them's, like, a dog and things like that. So, but while they're fighting, like, zombies or whatever, or robots in this video game, they're also talking to each other, trying to figure out if Paige's dad is, like, linked with these bad dudes in some way, or, like, why they want to talk to Paige's dad. And so that gets broken when they die. But while they're eating at this arcade, Berger says that he remembered the license plate of one of the bad dudes, and the license plate is 370455V, and he remembers it because it says asshole when you turn it upside down.
I know. I wanted to check, like, the Arizona DMV to see if it's available. That'd be so sick.
That'd be awesome. But yeah, it was funny because he's like, oh yeah, it's this. And they're like, how do you remember that? And yeah, he's like, it says asshole. I think that's really funny. So yeah, and then the bully from earlier that was giving Paige some shit comes in, and he also happens, like, be there at this arcade. And then Paige throws a pizza at him, at his face, and starts beating him up, and then she gets arrested.
A pizza with the, like, pizza stand. You see this sound effect? It's like, Sbarro.
No, I didn't. That's pretty funny. Oh, like, that's, like, the whole pizza stand. It's not just the pizza.
Yeah.
Okay, at first glance, it looked like stretchy cheese was, like, that stuff in the middle.
Oh, yeah, Sbarro. No.
I just took
it's been, like, the plate's too hot, and you don't want to put it on the table?
Also, when he gets that thrown in his face, the napkin is there, but it's turned upside down, so it calls him an asshole, essentially.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's
so
good.
Very, very clever from Tyler Boss there. So Paige is in jail, but luckily one of the detectives there is her uncle, so he kind of, like, bails her out or however that works. And then when Paige's dad arrives, the uncle goes to, like, talk to him for a little bit, which gives Paige the opportunity to run the license plate and see that a known associate of this bad dude is none other than Paige's dad. So the dad and her drive home, and on the way back, they talk about, like, why Paige is acting up and getting into fights. And then she brings up seeing him at the diner with the bad guys, but he kind of plays it off saying that that was just him ending things with them, essentially. But I really like this hacking sequence or whatever it was called.
Oh, yeah, this is super fun. It kind of reminded me of, like, a David Aja kind of page about, like, just some thing that they're doing.
Yeah.
And just, like, you know, the mouse going around to different files and, like, the download progress.
Like, the smallest panels of, like, the detective and the dad talking while she's, like, downloading a file or, yeah, like, clicking on things.
And how they're, like, walking back.
Clicking on known associates.
You can see, like, how many arrests and convictions they have and whatnot.
And it's a double page that, like, takes you in, like, an S formation across the page, which I think is cool. And it's, like, easy to follow as well.
It made me want donuts really bad because there's donuts in this scene. So I know.
Yeah. So I think it's kind of safe to say that he's taken a little bit of inspiration from David Aja.
Yeah, probably.
I think he said that somewhere, actually. But, yeah, it gives, like, that sort of similar vibe.
Yeah.
For sure.
And then, like, just the normal artwork isn't, like, super far from that either.
Yeah. Like, a lot of the backgrounds are, like, they're not normal background colors, I guess, in the sense that, like, the sky isn't blue ever, or, like, the grass isn't, like, green hardly ever, if there is, like, it's kind of that sense of get creative with the colors to sort of keep your attention.
Right.
And I really like I love the personality of the dad, because he really gets the vibe of just, like, a single dad that's barely knows how to like communicate with his daughter.
Yeah.
He's like, what is it? Drugs? What are you doing? why are you acting up? He's like, you're too young for drugs. I mean, don't ever do drugs, but you're too young for drugs right now. And so he's just like trying to figure out why she's acting up. And I think it was done really well. Cause it was also like a bunch of like little panels.
Yeah.
But yeah, since she ran like the asshole plates, the kids decide to investigate these guys even further by checking out the address that's listed. Like, Burger tries to bust down the door, which doesn't work, but Stretch, like, opens the window and is just able to get in through super easy. And so there's, like, little moments like that that are just meant to, like, add character, I guess. Even before they go, like, Burger is just messing with Walter in chemistry class.
Yeah.
So there's, like, a lot of room for jokes in here that I don't really cover, but they are, like, entertaining to read.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's mostly Burger's, like, comic relief. Yeah. It took me a minute to figure out, like, how the fuck did Stretch, like, open that door?
Yeah.
And then I, like, look back and I just see him opening a window, like, when they first get there. I'm like, oh, shit.
It's not even off panel. He just, like, you see him on the right side and he's opening the window. But inside they find a bunch of stuff, including, like, the local bank blueprints and, like, floor layout. And so they kind of piece together that they're planning to rob a bank. And then they hear one of the bad guys come back home. And so they all hide, and that dude's name, I think that bad guy's name is actually Daniel.
It's like, oh,
Daniel,
no. Silk. That's me.
Yeah, so Daniel comes home, and he's like, why is there an extra bite out of my sandwich? Because Burger was, like, eating his sandwich while they were there.
I would have absolutely noticed that. Well, and Burger's name is Daniel, too.
Is it?
Yeah. Daniel Burger Burger.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, interesting. I've just been calling him Burger. But yeah, so he knows that someone's at his house. And he's, like, threatening to kill them. And this is when Paige, like, jumps out with, like, a lighter and, like, a spray. And they light the guy on fire. And then in a rush, the kids grab, like, whatever they can and run out of the house. But as they leave, they see the other bad guys and Paige's dad there. And so...
Oh, it is Daniel Silk. Fuck.
Yeah, Daniel Silk.
Why is there two Daniels here?
I don't know.
Oh, my God. Wait,
so Burger's named Daniel, and he's the comedic relief, basically.
Nice.
He's the fucking guy gardener of this group.
Yeah.
And then Daniel Silk is the one that gets burnt. That's so funny.
Yeah, no.
That's, you're down bad. But yeah, so Paige's dad is there with the bad guys. So Paige kind of knows that he was lying. I love the like hide and seek page where they realize that there's a guy coming in. And then like Burger like flips his head back and forth trying to figure out where to hide. And then everybody already has a hiding spot.
Yeah, it's a good panel.
Yeah. She's like, she also has like a knife in her hand. And there's like a little devil that like sits on her shoulder. And that's, like, Burger. I don't know if you noticed.
Yeah.
And then the angel is Walter. And Walter's like, don't stab him. You don't need to stab him.
Yeah, don't stab him, Paige.
Yeah. Lots of really fun stuff in this book. But, yeah, issue 3. So this is another cold open. It has them in, like, a Mad Max-looking type of world. There's, like, trucks and, like, a helicopter and stuff and normal cars. But they're sort of talking to each other about Paige's dad maybe being a bank robber. And this is broken when their dog named Fat Weirdo breaks the illusion by like eating one of the RC cars. Their dog is actually named Fat Weirdo. I don't know what he called that.
I should go to the dog park and if someone like asks like what Winston's name is, I'm like, Big Fat Weirdo.
What's this piece of shit, actually? I knew someone whose cat was like Bob the Cat and like had a birth certificate.
Bob the Cat.
Bob the Cat.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, it was pretty good. I also like in this sequence where Burger's like, I wish my dad was a bank robber. And then Paige was like, your dad is already in jail, Burger. And he's like, yeah, but that's for tax evasion. That's not cool. That's like a crime you do by accident.
Oh, that'd be so shitty. You just like fill out something wrong on like TurboTax and then like go to jail.
Yeah, go to jail.
Oh, it's terrifying.
And then your kids can't even flex that your dad's in jail for something cool.
Yeah.
You have to make something up, probably.
Yeah, nothing violent.
Also, I just like how every time it's like this cold open is like broken by something going wrong for them, like Fat Weirdo eating the thing, and he sort of like uses that as like a comedic beat. Or I like when like all the kids sort of like agree on something and then like the last character always seems to like have some sort of issue or like Walter throws up or something.
Yeah.
I think it's good. Like, I think they call it like rule of three in comedy, where it's like one thing and then a second thing is similar and then they break that sort of form with a third thing, but in this case it's like the fourth person.
Okay.
Yeah, I think he kind of uses that like strategy, but anyway, Fat Weirdo breaks the illusion, and then Paige is worried about like her own dad being a part of this robbery to potentially like get arrested and get taken away. So she comes up with the idea of having them all rob the bank first. And that's the best solution.
Yeah, man. That's the only thing
that's kid logic.
That's sure. The only thing I could come up with.
Yeah. So the next day, Paige tasks Walter with like some science stuff to make a sleeping gas, and then tasks Stretch to open like this lockbox that they found at like the bad guy's house, while she gets a tour of the bank disguised as like a different kid trying to do like a report for school so that she can know like the ins and outs of the bank.
Right. Hold on. So Stretch and Walter are at like the library right now, I guess, doing research.
Yeah.
And they just got this dummy thick librarian.
Dude.
Did you see this shit?
Yeah, she's a hot librarian for sure.
Yeah. What's her name? I don't know.
Miss Turner? No.
No, that's Paige. That's Paige's last name. I don't know. I was like,
say her name.
Like, damn, dude, those kids aren't paying attention.
No, definitely not.
I mean, it whatever gets kids in the library, you know, but
yeah, true. That's never how they get kids to read books.
That like librarians are always like 60 and super weird.
No, this one's got a dumpy.
Yeah, for sure.
I did notice that, and I was like, damn.
And it's like one of those things where like they like, just show her ass and then don't show like her face or anything.
Yeah,
you remember like the
that bitch from
Powerpuff Girls, yeah. Yeah, like the mayor's like,
yeah,
like first lady or whatever.
Yeah, and she's got some legs on her.
Yeah, dude, she's always sitting on the desk and shit, yeah. And the dude is always horny as fuck.
The mayor,
he's like, oh, yeah,
she was awesome.
Yeah, and so it was that same effect, and
that character did things to me as a young boy.
Yeah, dude,
I'm like, I don't need to see anybody's face.
I was like, why do I want to fuck a cartoon? Yeah. There's so many instances of that.
Yeah, so many.
Like fucking Lola Bunny from like...
Yeah, what is that?
Yeah, Space Jam. Like fucking a rabbit. That's got to be wrong.
Yeah, is it just like the cartoonist being horny?
Oh, dude, you remember fucking Shark Tale? Like the girl in Shark Tale?
Lola?
Was that Lola too?
I think so.
Oh my God. Maybe I'm just attracted to Lolas.
Yeah. Why am I attracted to this fish? Tell me. She's like... You know that she's like a bad bitch fish as well.
Yeah. Exactly. And then she ends up being like... She just belonged into the streets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, kicked into the streets for sure.
Definitely.
Yeah. So Paige tasks both Walter and Stretch with stuff to do while she takes a tour of the bank, figures out what they need to get into the vault, you know. And then Paige finds out that, like, all that important stuff. So then Stretch ends up losing the lockbox to the bully from earlier. And then Walter accidentally makes a truth serum. And so there's like this scene that I feel like is kind of complicated and like takes a couple reads to go through. But Paige finds out that Stretch got punched by the bully and took the lockbox. So she like goes to fight that bully and then like uses the truth serum that Walter accidentally makes on him. And then the principal comes in and is like talking to the bully, is like, what happened? And then the bully's like super truthful about it. And anyway, it just like keeps going and going. And then all of a sudden, like, she tries to, like, do a switcheroo with her backpack into this bully's locker. Yeah, it's all just, like, kind of weird. But essentially what we get from it is that backpack gets taken and they don't have the lockbox. Because I guess he didn't have it in his locker. He, like, had it at home. So it's like a weird sequence.
Okay. I think I understood what was happening. And, like, the girl, like, got in trouble. Or, like, the bully got in trouble and there was, like, a knife in like the backpack, and so they kind of framed him by throwing it in the locker before the principal or whatever could notice.
Yeah.
So the lockbox is at Stretch's house?
No, it's at the bully's house now. Or like it was in like his gym locker, but he got suspended for having a knife in his backpack. Which they obviously planted there, but so now he's suspended, which means that the lockbox is at his house, which they have to go get later, essentially. It's just like an extra added element that I don't know. Like, if there's one thing,
I don't even remember them resolving that.
The lockbox.
Yeah,
she like sneaks into the dude's like
house. Oh yeah, I remember. Okay,
yeah.
Remember.
So anyway, there's a joke in here about the difference between diversion and distraction, and I enjoyed that one.
Yeah, he's like, it's basically the same thing.
Yeah, he's like, I got us a diversion. Now we just need a distraction. And Stretch is like, I think both those words mean the same thing.
I think
Paige's like, no, we need a distraction so that we can use our diversion. She's like, you keep saying it, but I don't think it makes sense.
That's like some shit I would say.
Yeah. Like, made like, sense kind of in my head, and I'm like,
because she used different words, I understood what she's trying to say.
Yeah, exactly. I just thought that joke made me chuckle. But anyway, Then they like go rob a local candy store, and I'm not sure what the reason was for that.
For practice.
They just practiced and they like robbed this old dude that has a candy store.
Yeah, dude. I always think about stealing stuff when I go to candy stores.
I do like that robbery page though, because it's just like a double splash page of like an isometric view of the store.
Yeah, and like a dotted line showing like
their everybody's path. Like stealing something real quick.
Yeah.
So I did think that that was good. I like the dotted lines and stuff, like a map or something. So anyway, so they rob the store, they get some extra money, and then later when Paige is at the diner just by herself, the leader of the bad guys sort of show up there, and Paige says that she knows what they're up to and that she's going to beat them to it. But then it's revealed like through the window that all the bad guys have like Walter, Stretch, and Burger sort of like held hostage, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Which they're not like planning to do anything with them. It's just sort of like a threatening sort of gesture, I guess.
Right.
So that was the end of that issue. I also like the joke in here. Paige like mentions frequently that she's doing a report on LBJ. And when she's like at the diner by herself and like that lead boss dude comes in, he's like, "What are you doing?" And then Paige says, "I have to do a report on LBJ next week." And then the guy was like, "LBJ? Like Spanish blowjob?" Like, E-L like BJ?
Yeah. Wait, what's LBJ?
I don't know.
Huh.
I think it's like an actual like person, like in chemistry. Because I think Walter mentions it and she's like, "No, the other guy." But I don't know who she's actually like mentioning.
Lyndon B. Johnson?
Probably. The president?
Or Lower Buckeye Jail?
Probably. Is that in Arizona?
Yeah, it's in Phoenix.
In Buckeye.
Yeah, it's probably about Lyndon B. Johnson, the vice president.
That would make sense.
Anyway. Or, no, he's the president.
So issue 4, there's another cold open because I guess like the threat gets settled and the cold open is of the kids planning the bank robbery with toys that Paige like has. So there's just like random action figures or like teddy bears or Legos or stuff, just like
I like how all these like toys are like trademarked.
Yeah, they are. Like Man Him, I think that's supposed to be like He-Man.
Yeah. I like
Jazz Hands is supposed to be like Edward Scissorhands, I'm sure.
Like Fastbender, which is like a transformer. It's like cars pretending to be robots.
Yeah.
Not like robots pretending to be cars.
Yeah, it's like another cold open fantasy world, and Stretch says that, you know, they shouldn't do this because their lives were like just threatened. And they all kind of like end up bailing on Paige. Then the dad walks out and he kind of comes clean about like them being broke and that he's using these bad guys to rob the bank so that they can get some extra money. But he promises that everything is going to go back to normal for them after that. He just needs the lockbox back that was taken from them. And so Paige goes and like steals it from like that bully's house.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a super important sequence, but she kind of like climbs up like to his window and like creates a distraction at like the front door with like this random foreign exchange student character that's in this book.
Yeah, like I guess like they got one or something, and so he barely speaks English.
Yeah, and so he kind of like uses that dude to like knock on the front door while she climbs up the window real quick.
Mm-hmm.
And I do like that page of like her actually climbing up and you see like the layout of the house, so you see him like walking down the stairs.
Looks like a dollhouse.
Yeah, it kind of does. So that's pretty good. But anyway, when she gets back, her dad's like looking for his keys, but Paige took them to like open up the lockbox to kind of see what's in there. And she does so secretly, opens up the lockbox, and then what she finds in there makes her tear up, and then she ends up leaving the house. So we don't really know what's in there as like a reader. But from here she goes, she finds her uncle, like the detective, to tell him about the bank robbery. But he says that he already knows about it because he's on like a stakeout right now trying to catch those guys. But he can't really do anything because he hasn't caught them doing anything yet.
Mm-hmm.
Or like arresting them.
Right.
So Paige like drops off a note at the diner that they're at telling them to meet her at a place for the lockbox, and then comes up with a plan to distract her dad at like that same time. So Paige is up to like some sneaky shit this issue.
Yeah. I didn't realize what she was doing until like towards the end.
Yeah. Until it all like comes together. But, so she's kind of doing this all on her own right now because her friends bailed on her, but she tries to radio her friends to apologize, but they don't really answer. But she kind of like makes a guess that they're still listening through the radio. And so she like apologizes. But that dude what's his name? Lord Gloryhole? What's his name?
Something like that.
Mr. Gloryhole. He like hops on the radio again and she's like, "You're sketchy, right?" And he's like, "Yeah." And so she like gets a gun from that crazy dude. And so then Paige meets the bad guys to give them the lockbox, but they find like a makeshift wire on her. And so they start like threatening her. The uncle, who's like the cop, shows up, and then Paige's dad breaks up everything, like the whole situation, which frees the bad guys, and then takes Paige home to yell at her. The dad, you know, says he's still going through with the robbery because he owes them for something.
Because they went to jail.
But they left him out of it or something.
Yeah, and they kind of bailed him out.
Because he has a kid. I think it was right. So he feels like that he owes them, which is why he's on like their side basically the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, he like locks Paige in a room and then she like sneaks out essentially. I do like that scene when she's calling her friends. Like, I like the representation of like radio static. Like, I could hear this panel because it's just, like, a black square with, like, some, like, white lines through it.
Right.
And it feels, like, static. Yeah, so Paige sneaks out of her room and goes to see the rest of the kids. And she says that in the lockbox was a fake ID for Paige and her dad. So after the robbery, it seemed like her dad was going to take Paige away forever and, like, go to Canada or whatever. So she apologizes again for, like, roping them in, but asks if they want to rob the bank because... if they don't and they succeed with this bank robbery, then she's going to go away forever.
Mm-hmm.
So then they're all back in. I really like the coloring in that night scene. It's like all blue and like dark outside. I just think it works really well. But I also feel like Paige has progressively gotten like brighter, like colored skin. I don't know if you've noticed. Or maybe it's just like a big contrast in this page, but she seems like very pink.
I think that's just kind of like the lighting.
Yeah, it probably is the lighting. Issue 5, this is where everything happens. So there's a cold open that has like a trippy scene where the kids are like grown up and they fly a car into heaven. And Paige like sees her parents there and they have all the money. But Burger isn't looking too good because he got some like hot dog ketchup all over him. And, like, that sequence gets broken and it's kind of hinted at that.
Everything went well?
Yeah, everything's good, you know.
Yeah. But obviously there's like things there that don't happen.
Exactly. So then it cuts to earlier and there's like a montage sequence where everybody's like getting things together. So like Walter makes the sleeping gas and he makes it right this time. And Stretch like makes a radio like receiver for cops and stuff. So there's a bunch of stuff that happens. And then they record like radio police responses and stuff. But also I like the coloring in the montage. It's like super rad because each character has like their own color. So, like, Walter, all of Walter's panels are, like, green because he's doing, like, science stuff. Meanwhile, Berger's contribution is just, like, doing nothing.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah. They've planned out what they want to do, and now they're acting on it. So, Berger's part of the plan is trapping the closest cops in an alleyway by shooting them with a slingshot and then getting chased into an alley where he uses, like, a trampoline to jump over the gate. And then after that, the crazy dude... on like the radio traps them on the other end with like a big truck, and then that gets blown up by an RC car, I guess.
There's actually something that happens like before that I thought was like insanely clever. They get the fake like police scanner radio or whatever, mm-hmm. that Stretch made. They call like a fake bank robbery and like timed how long it would take for them to get to the bank.
Yeah.
And then they record, and then once those cops got there, they recorded their response to the police radio saying, like, everything's fine.
Yeah.
Nothing's happening. So they recorded that for, like, later. I'm like, fuck, that was smart.
Yeah, it is smart because they get, like, how much time they have on top of, like, a way to respond to try and, like...
divert them. Mm-hmm. Like, and also in case the cops are called.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is, like, I thought was awesome.
Yeah, so they're super prepared. I really like that scene where Burger like jumps over the trampoline. I think it might be like my favorite example of lettering ever, because when he goes to jump on the trampoline, there's like lettering in like the form of a trail behind him where it says like fuck, and then as he jumps it says like you, and he like goes over the gate.
It was like, I read it like fuck you.
Yeah, exactly. And he like has a pose that looks like the All-Star Superman pose in like the beginning.
Yeah, it does.
So I think that's just like really charming. After that, they all suit up and then they enter the bank in like these costumes that they have, because luckily it's Halloween today. So it's not super weird for kids to kind of like go in with costumes.
Mm-hmm.
And so they shoot the guards with their squirt guns containing the sleep gas stuff. And then the heist is on. I like that Burger has like a Batman costume. It's like a really cheap like Batman costume. And Walter's like an angel. I just think the costumes are pretty funny.
Yeah. I was like, they very like briefly kind of snuck in the, hey, it's Halloween thing.
Yeah.
So that their outfits don't look so suspicious.
Exactly. I mean, it works. I mean,
it would be kind of crazy if there was a bank robbery and it was just like all costumes from like, you know, Party City.
That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah.
That'd be one of them is like that Scream mask where you like squeeze a thing and then there's like blood that comes out.
Yeah. Those? It's got like the tongue coming out that's or whatever. So sick. So dope.
And it's got the knife with like a little blood in it.
Yeah.
It's like trapped in like a little thing. Anyway, so they start the heist. They've got like these squirt guns full of the sleeping gas that apparently works immediately. It's kind of amazing.
I thought they were just shooting people with water.
No, it's like
that makes sense.
So they're not actually killing anybody.
No death.
But the alarm gets called on them, but they like still have some time to like open the vault with like the manager's key that she gets and starts like grabbing the cash. So then it's like time to respond to like the cops on like the radio. And so they play that recording and they're like, can you repeat that? And so she has to like try and rewind it, but she rewinds it too far. And then it just ends up like fucking up the whole thing. So now they're on like a time limit because the cops are like, yeah, we're going to check this out anyway.
Yeah, we're sending people to investigate.
Yeah, because she tries to like pick up the thing and be like, oh, nope, we're all good here. Nothing's going on.
Did you notice the Star Wars reference?
Was it like Han Solo trying to be like, everything's good? What does he say specifically?
He's like, had a slight weapons malfunction, but everything's perfectly fine. All right now, we're fine. We're all fine here. Thank you. How are you?
Oh, yeah. How are you?
She says, like, that same thing, except, like, vehicle malfunction. Oh, vehicle malfunction.
That's so funny. No, I didn't
catch that. I was like, yeah, dude. I was like, I told Sarah, like, when I read this, I'm like, I guarantee Nathan did not catch this.
No, I didn't. I know that scene, but that's...
Yeah, that's, like, when, like, they shot. He, like, shoots, like, the control panel after that point.
Yeah. That's so funny. Just being like, how are you?
Yeah, I've watched this, like, not that long ago, so it's very fresh.
That's so clever.
I like that. So, yeah. I see you, Rosenberg.
Yeah.
It's a good shit right there.
So now the cops are on their way, and time is ticking, and so they fill the duffel bag with a whopping $9,300.
That'd be pretty sick just to get one day, you know? Yeah. So.
And so, and then as they leave, the kids are met by Paige's uncle, like the cop dude. But I really love that scene where she was like, they like decide to leave, and Paige is like, how much did we get? And then Walter's like, $9,300. And she's like, fuck, that's so much money.
Yeah. As an 11-year-old, that's like a ton of money.
Yeah. But as like a kid, it is. But to us, it's like, what, like a couple months of rent?
Oh, yeah.
That's like actually one that made me laugh out loud because I'm like, $9,300. And I thought that she's saying fuck as like a, god damn it, it's like nothing.
I know.
You have a walkie-talkie?
No. This is a... This is a dog training remote. It's got a collar with it. It's for Winston. It's got a beep. And it's got a vibration button. It's also got like a static button.
Does it work?
Yeah. I used it on myself.
Oh. You stopped barking?
Yeah, I stopped barking immediately. Okay. Yeah, because I didn't want to like fucking hurt him, but I like felt it. And it's like, you know.
Off-putting.
Yeah. Have you ever been to like a chiropractor where they put like the... electricity things on you and it like kind of your hand goes like woo. Have you ever been electrocuted?
Yeah,
it's like that.
Okay,
but like not as like bad to where like it fucks up your muscles or anything.
That's good. I thought it was a walkie-talkie that you and your roommates use so you don't have to talk to each other. I think it'd be kind of sick actually.
No, these walls are kind of thin
because
so we can just kind of speak up a little bit.
I live in a townhome that's three stories, and if I need to talk to Ben, I don't want to walk from the first floor to the third floor try and talk to him.
I bet if you speak up enough and ask for Jeremy, like he'll like respond to you.
Really?
Yeah, he's like right there
through these walls.
Yeah,
I don't want to do that.
Okay.
Okay, yeah, so they're confronted by Paige's uncle. He recognizes her and is like, you need to stop this.
He's also with like another cop
there. Yeah. And then Burger tries to jump on the other guy, the cop's partner, which ends in Burger getting shot in the side.
Because I guess he was reaching for his gun or something, but he wasn't.
He was just trying to, like, take him out. And then I think the cop thought that he was reaching for his gun. But there's another sequence here with, like, the black panel saying, like, reminder, under almost no circumstances is it okay to shoot a little kid.
I like how he puts almost.
Almost. Yeah.
So when that happened, I was like, oh, fuck.
That's like a huge moment because there you could see blood on Burger and he's like bleeding out right now.
And you know it's powerful when like Walter like screams.
Screams.
I was like, oh, no.
That's such a big moment, right?
Because, yeah, like, huge moment.
It's like, it's really good lettering. It's like explosive lettering as well.
Yeah.
So something like real just happened. And so like this scene works so well. But yeah, so then like kind of in the heat of the moment, Paige takes a gun and shoots the cop's partner in the shoulder.
Yeah.
And there's like a huge like bang that's happening in like the panel.
Bloodspot is great.
And that's like the first time that she's like anybody's like, or any of those kids are like shooting anybody as well.
Yeah.
And you know, it's a big moment because the uncle's like, I can't protect you anymore, Paige. And so like now they need to like escape.
And she was like, you never could. I was like, oh, fuck.
I know. This is like, it feels like some Tarantino shit going on.
Yeah, this last issue, like, had a lot of heat in it.
Yeah. So, yeah, they all try to escape in the getaway car that they have.
It's like just Burger's mom's car. Yeah.
I love that Burger wanted to drive the car, but he's too short, so he put cinder blocks on his feet to try and reach the pedals.
And then he got shot. He's like, dude, I'm going to drive. It's like, it's
he's like, but now I can reach the pedals.
Yeah.
So yeah, they all try to escape and there's like a huge car chase with cops, but Paige tells them that if they cross the river, then they don't have like jurisdiction anymore, which is like not how it works at all. But yeah. It's so funny that that's what she thinks.
Yeah.
She's like, if we can just make it over the river, they can't follow us. They don't have they're not allowed, because she didn't know how to say the word.
Jurisdiction. Yeah.
Yeah. Which is so funny. Just like to think that. What if that's like how it actually works? If you just like leave the town,
yeah, they're like good. They're like, ah, it's like this. It's just like the city limits, and they have to call like some other department to go catch them.
Yeah, so they try and like jump this river, and it doesn't go very far whatsoever. They just crash into the river, and then sort of everything gets real for Paige because like what did I do? We're all sinking. Burger's bleeding out. All the money's all wet and going everywhere, and then the scene also like connects with what was happening in like the beginning sequence, because
when they got away with the heist, yeah, and like everything was all,
and they were flying, it was happy. Actually Burger bleeding out, and that was like his interpretation of what was happening.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was like, when they try and go for the jump, Burger's like, oh my god, we're flying, and then when they land in the water, it's like, we did it.
When they go into the water, I was thinking this shit was like deep as fuck. Like they could die in this,
yeah,
if they don't get out. And like Burger's bleeding, so he might not be super mobile.
Yeah,
but like they're not. They're like waist deep.
Yeah, they're in waist water. Deep in water. But yeah, so they get caught by the cops, and then it jump cuts to later.
It's probably like
20 years or something. But
yeah, it's like
Paige gets out of jail. Her dad is there to like pick her up.
Old long. Walter and old Stretcher here.
Yeah. But
her dad's
no
all gray.
There's no Burger.
Oh, shit.
So Burger fucking dies.
Oh, no.
In that scene. And then, like, the dad is like.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Paige is I like, thought he just couldn't make it or something.
He was busy that day. No,
he his job. He didn't make it.
No, well, I mean, it's not clear, but it's
I think
crazy.
I think it's heavily implied.
It's heavily implied that he's fucking dead now because of what they decided to do. And all of this was sort of tied to, like...
That's probably why she was in there for so long.
Yeah, probably.
Like, it probably didn't help.
And so, yeah, at the end, it's just a big splash page of Paige being like, I'm sorry, Dad. And the dad is like, I'm sorry, Tiny Princess, which is what he called her.
Yeah, like throughout the book.
Hell of an end, I think.
Super heavy, yeah.
Yeah. The fact that, like, Burger dies, who's, like, sort of the butt of the joke, uh-huh, like, this whole time. Like, it hits so hard when he's, like dying. Like, sitting there dying.
Damn, dude, I didn't even notice that. I'm a little disappointed in myself.
Yeah.
But it just, I'm feeling all the feels right now.
Yeah.
I need to take a break or something.
All right, take five. The thing with the lips. Anyways, so we'll go on to Back Matter Matters. Nothing matters anymore, actually.
Back Matter Matters.
Yeah, it's
did
just...
Did you get this letter?
Yeah, I did. I read it all.
Fact.
It's basically them being like, thanks for everybody that believed in us or let us crash on your couch or fed us food or gave us a chance. They named like a bunch of people that they ripped off, essentially, is what they say.
Hmm.
We also stole things from, especially Josh Hood and like a whole bunch of people like Joshua Hickson, or you got like Klaus Janson, David Mazzucchelli, Kieran Gillen, Ed Brisson, Ed Brubaker, like a bunch of people who they like have taken inspiration from. There's like, a big list there. And then all of the like creative teams, like special thanks. And then a cover gallery, which dude, this is like,
these are all killer.
These are some of the best covers of any like book.
Like, you know how like some will have like, you know, some cool stuff with like artists you recognize and then just some other stuff that like just fine. These are all bangers.
These all have like really unique takes on like,
each. I like this one. This one's fire. It's got a crosshair in there.
Looks like an old movie poster or something.
Yeah.
I like the one that you have of your hardcover, which is just them on like the brick wall. I think that's a reference to some movie thing. I just can't place my finger on it.
Not that I know.
There's like a silhouette cover. There's like some crime, like noir covers, covers of like guns and stuff.
These are sick too. These would be dope posters.
Yeah. Yeah. I would love those. Most of them are done by Tyler Boss, I believe.
Yeah. Like definitely Tyler Boss vibes.
The blueprint is a good one.
Oh, this paper. It's like a
newspaper.
That looks sick. And there's actual words in there.
I like this one that has a bunch of different pistols except for Burger, who has a slingshot.
Nice.
Like it just shows like their hands with like their weapons.
Yeah.
A bunch of different covers from all sorts of people. That are all like, it feels like movie posters.
Oh, this is like Ocean's 11.
Yeah. So that's like a reference that I picked up on.
Oh, this is fucking Jackie Robinson, I think. Fucking Jackie Brown. That's a Tarantino one.
Oh, is it?
Okay. I think this is Usual Suspects.
Yeah, I figured Usual Suspects was in here.
What is this one? I think that's... Fuck. I think that's Bottle Rocket, which is like a Wes Anderson movie. This
yeah.
One?
Yeah, that's Bottle Rocket. Yeah, it is. I didn't even notice that.
Ah, oh, fuck. I'm so smart.
You're so good. Yeah, so there's like a lot of...
Really he's also there. Just like picking out of stuff that I know specifically. Yeah. So. These are dope. Oh my god.
There's a
Fargo one. Fuck yeah.
Okay, that's what that is. I know I recognize that one too.
Yeah, these are sick. Like some of the best covers.
I know. I would like collect these covers.
Oh yeah, honestly. For sure.
Like I think they'd be super cool. There's a wraparound cover that's just like the blueprints of the bank that they robbed.
Nice.
And then there's mug shots of every single one of them.
I almost want to like just figure out what all these are in reference to.
Yeah, that'd be kind of a fun project too.
It would take a long time.
It's not like the best back matter, but I do really like this is my favorite. Like, those are definitely my favorite covers. So I'm glad that they were all there.
Yeah, super solid.
disappointing covers. That the hardcover doesn't have anything additional. I guess.
Yeah, dude, I thought that'd be fun. I get the hardcover. You get the normal. You already had the normal trade, nope. And I'd have some extra back matter. No, it's not the case at all.
I also bought this digitally because I forgot it here.
Oh, I brought it to you though.
Yeah, I did that before.
Oh damn, it's like full price.
Yeah, it's whatever.
All right.
So anyway,
you're welcome, Matthew.
We'll go into the pull list: : shove it in your box.
The pull list, what did you shove in your box?
And what have you been up to?
So,
what have you been reading?
Reprint of Star Wars High Republic #1 came back this week.
Nice.
So, I was able to get that. We got Rorschach.
I picked up Rorschach.
Did you get Black Hammer Visions?
I did.
Yes, sir.
Patton Oswalt.
That's the... Black Hammer
spin-off series.
Book. What's it mean when there's like a bunch of different stories and a bunch of different writers?
Anthology,
which will be super hype. Pretty excited for
that.
And that was it.
I picked up, the Visions one. I picked up, what was the first one you just said? I didn't pick up the High Republic. There's two Green Lantern things that came out. So Green Lantern from Grant Morrison and Liam Sharp. That's the penultimate issue. It's issue 11.
Yeah, I saw that.
Then the Future State Green Lantern #2 came out, which is the last one of that.
Okay.
What else did I pick up? Yeah, Rorschach, which is four. Mm-hmm. And then I picked up one more, which is... Oh, Radiant Black came out today, which is that new Image superhero.
Oh, you did get that?
Yeah, I got it.
Yeah, let me know how that is.
There's great covers for it. I don't know if you've seen them, but, like, phenomenal.
I think I just saw, like, the main one.
Yeah. So my shop had a bunch of them. Apparently, while they were doing like a Facebook Live auction, like Samurai Comics in Arizona will do that every Tuesday.
Yeah, it's like
apparently the writer heard about it and hopped onto that Facebook Live and then brought the artist for Radiant Black as well on there to like talk about the book as well.
On the live?
Yeah, on the live thing. Because they had like special like variants that they were like auctioning off on there.
Oh, cool.
So yeah, I thought that was kind of neat.
That's pretty dope.
So yeah, those are the ones I picked up. I didn't get the chance to read any comics this week, so I'm just falling more and more behind on my need to read.
I have
but I watched a lot of things.
So. I had an idea.
Okay.
To help you and me with you know, our single issues. And I think it'll be helpful. So they just keep coming, you know.
Read the trades and, for them?
No. They just keep coming. Mm-hmm. We keep buying them.
Yeah.
But we're not making time for them. I think me and you both just always want to sit down for a couple hours and just knock out a ton. But I don't think it'd be a very hard challenge just to read like one issue a day.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Like just like, you know, end of the day, just knock out one issue. That's like your issue for the day. That's like seven a week. I bet you could get down because I have a whole short box.
Yeah, I basically do as well.
And I think if we kept up with that, and then especially recapped on it here to keep ourselves accountable, we'd knock out like a lot.
I was thinking of like doing one just like right before bed, whether it's for this or one of like mine.
Yeah, yeah. Especially like, because that.
If it's like, because this was like five issues, I would have read at least two books for like doing just that. And I could definitely do more.
Yeah. Like I always make time for our trades. But like on top of that, just like a single issue just takes like 15 minutes normally to read like an issue. I think that could be fun.
I'm going to try and do that. Just because I'm behind on the Green Lantern stuff and I want to follow up on it when it like actually ends in like a month.
Yeah. I definitely just need to catch up and see if I want to continue reading certain things.
Yeah. And I want to catch up on things like Stillwater and Crossover, which I've barely like started. So.
Right. All right, man. Yeah, write down what you read and we'll talk
good.
About it.
Sounds good.
What did you watch other than WandaVision?
I did another episode of Umbrella Academy.
Nice. What happened?
Good stuff there. It's when they like meet up with Reginald Hargreaves and they're like, where are your kids? Mm-hmm. So like, and we have like powers and stuff is essentially what happened.
That's where they go to like that table and talk it out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Klaus has like a weird new power where Ben can like go inside of him for a little bit. We don't really know what that's about yet.
Yeah.
I assume it's going to be huge. Or at least something very, like, interesting. Because he's normally, like, super baked, which is why he hasn't, like, reached the limits of his powers.
Uh-huh.
So, I'm interested in what that's going to be. And it was Allison showing Ray how her, like, power works. His, like, husband Ray. Or her husband Ray.
Yeah.
So, interesting stuff. Mm-hmm. I also watched the season one finale of The Good Place. Hopped back on that one.
Oh, really?
Yeah, good show.
Nice.
And then
isn't that like the episode where they kind of reveal what the whole show is about?
They reveal that the good place is actually the bad place.
Oh,
have you seen the show?
I've seen episodes, like not very seriously, like a couple of minutes of each.
It's a great show, actually.
I'm sure it is.
It was like a really,
I thought I understood it, but I guess not.
It's like a really, especially the last episode, I was like, this is like a genuine, like ethical dilemma that everybody's in.
Yeah.
And they orchestrated it so well.
So I was
interested in it because I was like, I don't know what the fuck I would do in this situation.
So the good place is actually hell?
Essentially.
Huh.
What they think is the good place. And, like, the architect god dude that's there is actually an architect of the bad place. And he's putting these people and torturing them in the bad place by putting them through these, like, torturous dilemmas.
Ah.
And then at the end, he wipes all their minds and he tries again. And that's, like, the end of that.
Oh, cool.
So I'm like, what the fuck even happens now? But, like, before he does that, the Kristen Wiig's... No, that's not her name. Kristen Bell's character writes herself a note from before she gets her mind wiped, and she finds that after like she gets her mind wiped.
Huh.
So she's gonna basically rediscover what's happening and then try and best him, I guess. So
interesting.
That's good stuff.
So
yeah, what did you watch?
Have you seen Tusk?
Yes, unfortunately.
It's
like, I wouldn't even call it like a cult movie. It's just fucking weird, but people like it because it's weird, you know?
I think that is what makes it a cult movie.
It's just uncomfortable, dude.
Oh my God.
Like, I watch cult movies, but like, that one's just
weird. Sarah saw like a TikTok for it. She's like, we should watch this. I'm like, okay, yeah, I like Kevin Smith.
Did you think it was going
to be good? I didn't know. I just like ratings and stuff, it seemed like it was going to be bad. And so like I watch it and I was really trying to take it seriously as like a horror movie because it was kind of going that way. And then it just ended up being like kind of funny. Like Johnny Depp's character is like hilarious. He was like the best part.
I forgot about that.
I was like, is that Johnny Depp? She's like, that doesn't even look like Johnny Depp. I'm like, no, it sounds like Johnny Depp. And then I looked it up and I showed her. I'm like, ha.
I totally forgot about that.
He was like the best part.
Wasn't Justin Long's character like a podcaster?
Yeah. And he's got a podcast with like Haley Joel Osment. It was like disturbing and like super fucked up. It was like a nightmare. And I think like the point of it is not to be like jump scares. It was supposed to be like unsettling and uncomfortable and like a body horror thing.
They definitely accomplished that. Yeah, body horror is a good way to put it.
I was like on board with it and I was like, this isn't that bad. This is like truly like unsettling, you know? But the end just fucking drove me crazy.
I can't remember.
So he's spoilers, but he's like in that like walrus like bodysuit thing that was made for him, and he ends up like killing the dude who does it with like his tusks, and they Johnny Depp like aims like the shotgun at him, and then like it goes to the next scene, and if they killed him, I'm like, okay, yeah, that makes sense. He doesn't have his tongue anymore because it was cut out.
Yeah,
he doesn't have legs. He can't do what he did for work anymore or whatever.
Yeah,
but no, it goes to a panel where like the girlfriend and like the other podcaster go to like some weird exotic zoo, and he's fucking in the zoo still as like a walrus, and they throw him like a raw fish, and he like destroys that shit. I'm like, why the fuck was he not taking out of that? I'm like, he's still in there. He just has like, you know, this other skin like on top of him. He could just like be a paraplegic with no tongue. He could be like a writer still.
I don't know.
And at that, I was just thinking, I'm like, all right, it's not that bad. He can still turn this around. Because at first he just has the one leg cut off or whatever. I'm like, all right, people still run marathons with no legs, you know?
True.
But then it just kept getting worse and worse. And just like nightmares. I just would never want that to happen. And then it just ended so dumb.
Did you know he came up with the idea for that movie on his podcast?
Yeah, I heard that. Yeah. I was looking into it. I was looking at the reviews for that on like IMDb, and it's so fucking back and forth. It's like either like a 0 or like a 10. I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
I would probably put it at like a 0. I just watched it and I was like, why did I? I knew it was going to be bad, and then it like delivered on being bad. But like, I can get why you'd make a movie to like make it bad, you know?
Yeah, like I thought it was working as like this like comedy horror thing, but I think it accomplishes a lot by being that unsettling and like fucked up. But like if it ended with him like things just being relatively okay, and he was just like silent when he was just like this prick at first, that would have been like a good ending. But the way it ended was so fucking dumb that it ruined the entire movie for me.
Yeah,
so I was open because I knew it was gonna be bad, and it could have been just fine, just a movie.
Yeah,
but then ended up being ridiculous that they just left him like that.
I agree. Yeah, weird one.
So that was some shit, and Sarah fucking loved it.
What?
I know. I'm like, who the fuck am I dating? She's like, that's like a top 5 favorite movie for me.
Shut
I'm like,
the fuck up.
She has like the worst taste in movies. Like, really? Wow. She like. And she's like, it was like horror. It had some comedy in it. It was like kind of wholesome. I'm like, fucking win.
Of everything.
Yeah. And then she's like, it's incredible. And then she started recommending it to everyone who fucking lives here.
No.
I'm like, don't watch it. Do not watch this. I'm like, you know her movie taste. Do not watch this.
Yeah. That's so funny.
It seems like every movie we watch, we have like the opposite opinion on, which is kind of fun.
That is fun.
But anyway. I really need to tell somebody that I watched that, and I'm glad that you've seen it so you understand like how I feel.
Even if you did like the movie, that's not a movie that you can recommend to people. It's like one of those.
I would only recommend it to like see people's reactions. That I wouldn't recommend it to someone who I really
want to like impress.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or want to talk to again, you know. If I see someone in like another state.
You got to be okay with like parting ways with that person forever.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense. And never getting the backlash.
I wouldn't recommend this to my employer, you know.
Absolutely not. Imagine recommending that to your boss right now and what your conversation would be like tomorrow.
Yeah.
He'd be like,
working out.
No, this, you're fired. You're definitely exactly. fired. I can't have you if you enjoyed this. But anyway. Yeah.
Anything else? Or should we just go on to WandaVision?
Yeah. Fridays are for WandaVision.
Yes, they are.
Here we go.
What a big episode.
Holy shit. Biggest episode. They just keep getting bigger.
Kind of a big thing.
Definitely a big thing.
We'll get to it later.
Okay.
Lots of interesting things that happened in this besides the last 5 seconds.
The thing that that really stuck out to me was they were recapping like her powers, kind of like her origin story. And then they mentioned her parents.
And they mention
not Magneto as like her parents.
They don't say who her parents are though.
No, they say like names.
Okay, but that could be like I feel like it could still be maybe they took like alternate names when they go to Sokovia or something.
It might be.
I'm not ruling it out. They could have been like Magneto.
They could have been like adoptive parents.
It could have been as well. Yeah.
Because of the last 5 seconds.
Because they're not named Maximoff either.
Oh, well, I thought they were.
Are they Maximoff?
Yeah.
Wanda Maximoff. Yeah, they are. Yeah. So yeah, I'm not ruling out. I think that there's room in there for that to be like Magneto, but whatever. We'll.
What else did you?
So notice? Wanda can't control her babies. Her kids.
Yeah, they like age up like all the time.
They age up by themselves. Agnes is definitely in cahoots with Wanda in some form.
And like understands what's going on.
Yeah, and she's like, do you want me to take it from the top? You know?
Yeah.
What is that? She's definitely like a bigger character. And at first I'm like, it'd be kind of cool if she breaks out of this and like becomes part of S.H.I.E.L.D. or something. But now I think that she's like almost like a villain.
No, so, I think she just understands that she's in like this simulation or whatever that Wanda is producing.
Yeah. And so then she all of a sudden, because like the thing is she comes in whenever Wanda needs her, right?
Yeah.
But whenever Wanda needs her is when something bad is kind of happening and she's there to sort of like throw a wrench in the mix and sort of fuck everything up almost. Like and almost puts a mask over it like she's trying to help, but then like further.
Like
so
what?
So when the dinner party came. And Wanda's, like, using all of her powers and stuff. She, like, comes in and is like, oh, let me help you out here. And Wanda's like, no, it'd clearly be easier if I use my powers.
Yeah.
Or in this episode, when Sparky came. That was awesome, by the way. Oh,
yeah. I was like, nice. Yeah.
When, like, the kids, I heard the bark, I was, like, grabbing Sophie's leg. I'm like, it's Sparky. Because, like, I knew that there was, like, a big thing. Like, they said, like, a big cameo was happening. And I was like.
And you thought it was Sparky?
I was like, Quicksilver. And then I was like, I heard Sparky. I'm like, it's Sparky, babe. But
and you thought that was like anyway, Luke Skywalker level cameo?
Yeah, it would be to me. I mean, I think that was sick. But like when Sparky comes, she's like comes in and she's like, I got this doghouse for you so you can have this dog. Or like the dog dies and it's in her arms, right? And then the kids are asking her like, just bring it back. And then she's like, can you do that? You know? There's like little things in here where I feel like she's acting like she's on her side, but almost like helping other people become aware of what's going on.
Yeah.
Because she also helps Vision become aware of what's going on in a way. So I don't know. I feel like she's gonna piss off Wanda at some point, and that's like the point of her character.
Right.
Instead of just being like a normal civilian.
Huh. Okay. Interesting take. But yeah. And
she be controlled? I don't think she can. Or maybe she can. But it seems like she's aware of what's going on, so maybe she can't be controlled for that reason.
I don't think it's like, because they have like, what's his name, Norm or something, like Norm. at the office. He's like got like the on and off.
No,
but she's like
Vision turns off, or turns Norm on, or whatever.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like that, he was on, and then he turned him off, and he was like his normal self. But this girl, she's like, she knows that she's in like the simulation or whatever, and then also just comes out of it being like, do you want me to redo that?
Yeah, but she doesn't need anything to like get her there.
Right.
Which is interesting.
Okay, I never realized that.
Yeah.
There's something there.
The shit with Norm was insane though.
I know.
That guy's a really good actor.
Yeah, he's great.
He's like, I need to call my sister, and then like immediately turns it back on and he's like, So what should we say back? You know?
Yeah.
The emails. The shitty Russian accent is back.
Which
she comes out Wanda's? Of the hex. Remember? And she's like, got like the drone that they tried to use, the 80s drone.
I didn't notice it.
She had like a very slight shitty Russian accent. So that's
I thought
still
that
a
was
thing.
Just her talking.
No, it's like an accent. When she talks again outside of it, because I'm sure it'll happen, she's still got the Russian accent.
She doesn't have that like in anything else other than the Age of Ultron, right?
She has it in other things, I'm pretty sure. I think she has it in... Does she have it in Endgame?
I thought they pretty much retconned it.
I thought they did too, but then it came back, so I'm not sure what's going on now.
Maybe
you could watch that scene again. I know you're not, but you could watch that scene again, and it's clearly like a weird accent. So
I definitely didn't like that part because she's very mean, and she's just been this nice mom the whole
I
time.
Know, but she's like trying to like stick to herself, which on one end I'm like, yeah, just let her. But then there's like also people that are being held hostage, essentially. So
yeah,
Hayward, the big shield dude that's kind of in charge over like Jimmy Woo and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Total dickhead.
Yeah, not nice, dude.
When like Wanda like had all those guys like point their guns at him, I'm like, oh fuck, some shit's happening.
Right.
And then there's like hints of Monica Rambeau having powers because they couldn't get scans on her.
Yeah,
like,
I saw
the medical
something.
Equipment's busted, and then it showed like a bright like white screen on Surface Pro.
Yeah, there's something about like that I saw like a kind of a theory that like Wanda may have like given her powers because she was in there or something.
Okay,
but that just seems kind of weird because then maybe everyone who's controlled would have powers then or something.
Yeah, I don't think it's that. I don't know if that would make sense because she's
but
also
I think
affiliated
she...
with Captain Marvel in some way. So maybe something from Captain Marvel to now have given her powers in some weird way.
In comics, is she a character?
Monica Rambeau?
Yeah.
Yeah, we went over this. She's in...
Oh, she's in Next Wave,
Next
sorry.
Wave, yeah.
Does she have
and
powers?
Monica Rambeau ends up becoming Captain Marvel for a little bit too. She does have powers. She's got like... Like, choom power. Like, I don't know.
She had choom powers. Yeah, yeah.
Like, the light blast powers.
Mm. Very important.
I think her name's, like, Dr. Light or something, normally. But anyway.
Okay.
I'm not going to look it up because I want to be surprised with what they do with her in the show.
Sure. Anything else you can think of?
That fight that starts happening and, like, the end credits start rolling. I thought that was really creative.
Wanda
and Vision start fighting. She's like, we're done here. And then the credits start rolling. And he's like, we are not done here. And I'm like,
yeah.
I'm really stressed out. There's a lot to look at here.
That was really fun. Because, like, he's obviously catching on to things.
Yeah.
And I don't know why.
He's like,
how, like, because she, like, fucking reverses things all the time and, like, has things go the way she wants.
Yeah.
But, like, it's not working right now for some reason.
Yeah, I guess not.
And then they revealed that she broke into, like, some... She broke into sword
to get his body
and got his body,
and he doesn't remember anything either.
He doesn't remember anything before. And they Jimmy Woo said something about it's Jimmy Woo, right?
Jimmy Woo, yeah.
About how she was like disrupting the Accords somehow because there was a chapter in there that you're not supposed to like revive anybody with powers. Either she's just, like, controlling him like a puppet, like, with a dead body, or actually brought him back.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to tell.
So, I think that's something that will probably be revealed.
Yeah.
I think it'd be cool if they just brought him back, because it's kind of shit that everyone else came back except for him.
Yeah, but he wasn't snapped. He was killed.
Right, but if, like, Iron Man snapped everyone to come back, and then everything also not changed, like, his daughter is still around, why not just have Vision in that?
It's a good point.
So that's the only issue I have that. If they already planned out WandaVision prior to this, I get that.
I think Vision will come back, but maybe we just won't have memories of anything before, potentially.
Perhaps.
I think it'll come back in some way.
It wouldn't be hard to just like...
I'm really digging it, though.
To stick a USB into the...
Yeah, true.
Shield or sword.
And
yeah.
Then up his butt.
And then right back up in his butt. That's where he keeps his USB drives.
Yeah, so then the big reveal... Quicksilver shows up.
He knocks at the door.
Wanda didn't know about it, which is interesting.
Right.
I think it's like that familial tie. She's not able to control anything that happens with family.
Okay.
And I'm like, it's Quicksilver.
Because you see the back of his head and it's silver.
Well, no. Like, even with the knocking, I'm like, it's Quicksilver. Because they talk about Quicksilver and I'm like, Quicksilver's probably coming up.
Right.
And then the back of the head, I'm like, great, it's Quicksilver. You know, let's get on with it.
I see his face.
And then fucking Evan Peters comes up.
Yeah, and it's not fucking Kick-Ass or whatever his name is.
Aaron Taylor Johnson.
Yeah.
I flipped out. I had to stand up.
I shit myself.
It was very
in my desk.
It was like late at night, or I like had to be quiet because it's late at night.
Uh-huh.
And I like knocked something over very quietly, like I very intentionally like put it sideways just to like try and get something, like some sort of reaction.
You like smack a pillow against like a a couch, like, and so it bounces silently.
Exactly.
That's insane, because
unreal.
Every nerd has been waiting for this. It's just something to bridge the two companies, and how they were going to make this all work.
And like, it's so weird that this is how it like it works perfectly. It's, like this.
Yeah, it works
so well.
The only
character that's between like the both Fox Studios franchises and MCU is Quicksilver.
Yeah, it works so well.
And I knew before. Apparently, like the X-Men could use Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch if they wanted to because they're X-Men, but they technically first appeared in Avengers comic books, so that's why they both have the rights.
Weird.
Yeah, it's weird that like works like that.
Yeah, and then I like how they just kind of said like, oh, she recasted him.
Yeah,
and which is exactly what happened.
Which would also be crazy if like you aren't fucking a nerd like us, right?
Right.
You'd be like, why is it not the hot Quicksilver?
I think everyone prefers the Evan Peters one anyway.
Much better. Yeah.
Way better. And then he's like this like kind of like cocky kind of like character, mm-hmm. like probably like what he was in X-Men.
Yeah.
But it's just like, this is so big.
It's huge.
Because who knows how much more
bigger than like
mutant shit's gonna come up. And that's what I'm thinking. Like, now that he's there, he'll be like, oh, you're a mutant or whatever. And our dad, he's Magneto,
he's
or something
a
like
mutant
that
as well. And he's also gonna be a mutant. Like, our dad's dead. And be like, well, that's weird because where I come, yeah. And like, do you think that how do you think he got there? Do you think it was Wanda subconsciously? Or if it was Wanda, does that open the barrier to go to like other universes, which then leads into Doctor Strange Multiverse of Madness? Like, how do you think this all comes together? Because it's got to.
So somehow. What I'm thinking is, she has this world, this city that she wants. It contains things in the life that she wants. It contains Vision, the husband that she wants. It contains the babies, the children that she wants.
And then her.
And what she also wants is like for her brother to be back.
But she can't get her brother because she's dead. Or he's dead.
And so I don't think it's too out there for her to, like, she created the babies out of thin air. Why can't she just bring back Quicksilver?
Yeah, I think, yeah, I thought about that too. And I was like, you know, the kids is different because she's creating that out of nothing, essentially.
Right.
But Quicksilver would be different because that's an actual, like, dead person. Different from Vision, who's, like, technically an android. Might as well be a person, but technically an android.
Yeah.
But if she wanted Quicksilver back and tried to will that as much as possible, maybe her powers, her hex powers, went through universes and grabbed another Quicksilver.
And ooh, that'd be wild. There.
And then that's what opens the door for, like, universes to collide and bring mutants in. Like, that would be the... And, like...
If you remember in the book we reviewed, House of M, Nathan... She's created a bunch of mutants, and so it didn't seem like too outrageous.
Well, those
and then she also like wiped out a bunch of mutants, so just kind of bringing like one person back doesn't seem too out there.
Yeah.
I don't know how her powers work as far as multiverses go, but
I don't know either. They could go wherever. I mean, her powers in the MCU are just reality altering powers.
Pretty bland, yeah.
Technically, it's not the same in the comics, but the way the comics explain it is like the worst explanation. Do you think there's a chance for Aaron Taylor Johnson to show up in some form to explain to normal people like this is a different Quicksilver, not me?
I don't think that's necessary.
It's not for me to understand, but it'd be kind of shitty to be Aaron Taylor Johnson, a character that plays Quicksilver in a very successful movie, and then not be brought back.
No, I think it'll be perfectly fine. I think they'll just like kind of push forward. I don't think there's so many voices to do that, and it doesn't have to be in the show.
Yeah,
you can just Google Quicksilver, and then an explanation video will pop up.
That shouldn't be expected, though.
Right. It's not like, oh, we'll just let the YouTubers handle this, but like they're creating a narrative and they're moving forward with the show. It seems almost more confusing to have another casting of the same character explain why one of the guys is going
to
be this person.
Not to like be there and explain it, but I just feel like MCU Quicksilver will be back in some form, even if it is like, I think there'll be new Quicksilver stuff.
I don't think that will be like the introduction to like the multiverse. Like I think that I really think
Quicksilver introduces the multiverse.
No.
Oh, I think you're dead wrong.
Okay. Yeah, that's definitely possible. But like, I just don't think that's like something that would be, I don't think the show has enough time to like kind of take on that.
I guess we'll see. There's four more episodes.
I think it'll definitely be in like the third Spider-Man movie when we've already gotten all these like kind of hints towards that,
I guess.
I don't know. This is the first step to like the merge of like them actually being in the properties.
Yeah.
Which is why it's so exciting.
Yeah, very exciting.
And trying to predict like how they'll do that is like basically impossible because I didn't even expect them to do this. And then also to continue with the merge, it just seems like insane. We probably won't see any other mutants from Fox.
I didn't expect to see him for forever. So
there may or may not be an explanation bringing up Dad or whatever.
Yeah.
But we'll definitely see.
Yeah, I'm very interested.
Yeah, like
there's no way I'm gonna be as excited for Falcon Winter Soldier unless they bring something up. But we'll see.
Yeah, no, this has been too much of a banger. Anyone who has not been watching this, I'm like, you're wrong.
Yeah.
Stop being dumb and go watch this. Oh, you watched the first two episodes? I don't care.
Doesn't matter.
I talked to someone yesterday. It was like, oh, I was just waiting for there to be like more episodes. I'm like, nope, watch it all now. Yeah, you need to be caught up.
You need to do it now. Yeah, Parker was like the same way. He's like, yeah, I watched like the first two episodes with my dad, and he didn't really like it. And I'm like, well, I can get that like at that point. But I told him, I was like, this is the biggest thing that ever happened. Just vaguely. And I'm like, I don't say this lightly, but I need you to watch it, kind of deal.
Yeah.
So, and he like enjoys comics and stuff, so he'll know what that is.
Yeah. As well,
so, but anyway, good stuff.
Definitely.
What are we going to read next week? There's a couple different ones.
You want to just read down the list?
Yeah. I think that we should do Moon Knight by Ellis and Declan Shalvey. A new one in there is New Avengers, The Illuminati, which I think is a really good one.
Mm-hmm.
That's a Hickman book about like the Illuminati, but in the Marvel universe, which is just like all the Marvel world leaders. We could do a Secret Invasion. I really want to read Black Bolt by Christian Ward as well. I think you'd like that one a lot.
Did you see the artwork? The blue one?
Oh, that one. Oh, that's Christian Ward. Yeah.
Yeah. Isn't that sick?
Yeah. I love that print from him.
Yeah. I had to cop.
It's very good.
Anyway. Yeah. I think I'm more down for like a single character like thing. So
I think you'd really like Moon Knight.
Moon Knight or Black Bolt?
Let's do Black Bolt.
Okay.
I
agree.
Christian Ward.
Sounds good.
So the first trade of that.
Yeah. How many is that? Like six or something?
I don't know. Probably. It's like the one with just his face on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, hard time.
Six issues. Saladin Ahmed.
Saladin Ahmed, yep. So I would say we should go with that.
Okay.
Cool. So next week, Black Bolt.
Black Bolt.
Blackagar Boltagon.
Yeah.
That's his actual name.
Right, yeah.
I make that up.
Guys, you can email in, tell us what you want us to read, ask us any questions, anything like that, at tradewordspod@gmail.com. Tradewordspod on Twitter.
Yes, recommend something weird if you want.
Super weird.
We all have those books where
or something
you can't
you're
necessarily
now.
Recommend it to somebody because it's weird.
But you can
recommend that to us.
And we'll read it.
Because it's weird and we like that.
Yeah. You know? Recommend the worst book you've read.
Exactly. maybe not that, but I'm at More Like Nate Thick on Twitter.
Real Daniel Alejandro on Instagram, Daniel Alejandro on TikTok.
Yeah, and thank you, Nathan Moss, for the music, and thank nobody else for the music.
Nathan Moss just did our main theme. I did the rest. Don't forget it.
Thanks, everybody.
All right, bye.
Bye.